What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TMNBaseballFan.com, and gosh, yeah, this is probably the first time in a long time that I've done two episodes so closely together. So hopefully we can kind of keep this rolling, but it's kind of fun because I was thinking about all these little treasure hunts that I had going on for like Walmart and Target and that sort of thing, and I was reminded of it not by anything card related that happened recently, but rather a Transformer thing that happened recently. In some of the Facebook groups that I'm part of for Transformers, a lot of people have been posting things saying, you know, hey, look at this score that I got from Ross Dress for Less and Ollie's, but there's no Ollie's around here. And some of these Transformers that normally go for $40, you know, all the way up to $80, were being sold for $7 or $8. I go, huh, wow. And I kept seeing pictures over and over again. And it wasn't until a YouTuber popped up on my feed and said, hey, check this out. Get yourself to Ross. They have stuff over there. So I was like, ooh, okay. So I decided to take the trek the next day, and I bring Holly and Beckett. And of course, Holly's thrilled that I'm getting more Transformers, right? And so I go over there, and unfortunately there's none, but I went to the one that was like 5 minutes down the road or 10 minutes down the road, and they had some. So I was able to pick some up, and sure enough, between $7 and $16, I think it was, I was able to pick up a handful of them, which I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Nothing insane, really. No crazy deals, but a few keepers that I was able to also go to. It's a online shop called Toy Hacks that sells stickers, so you can customize the Transformers. Imagine me wanting to customize things, right? But anyway, it was really kind of a neat, fun thing. And it was a callback. And it, well, by the way, day or so later, I spent the entire night going in the rain to like three, four different other Rosses. None of them had anything worth going for. So so that's kind of how it goes, right? You win some and lose some. A lot of times when it comes to this sort of thing, you win very few, if any at all, and lose the rest. So, but anyways, it reminded me so much of all these times in the past when, you know, something crazy would happen, like Strasburg Mania, or when Yasiel Puig first came out. Like, we'll start with Strasburg Mania, because that's really what got me the first time that I did that, I think. And it was so fun because I was like basically driving to all of the Walmarts and Targets looking for 2010 Bowman. I think 2010 Bowman Chrome, if I remember correctly. And keep in mind, Bryce Harper, I think at the time, he was like 17. Like, he was known as like a big shot, but nothing like Strasburg at that point. So, and I remember also later on in the year, they started putting stickers on their product that says look for Steven Strasburg. So, you know, that was a that was a big deal. But I remember going to like Target or Walmart or something and excited because there was like just a huge pile of 2010 Bowman packs, and I go, oh yeah. So I grab all of them and I come home, and you guys, like, I have the worst luck when it comes to pulling cards and packs. I don't really believe in luck, but like, yeah, but if there was such thing, I've got terrible luck. I could probably count on one hand the big, quote unquote, big hits. They aren't really big hits anymore. They're probably just like, oh, neat, you know, nowadays. But one of them was Strasburg. Like, whenever I open the pack, or open those little, that lot of packs I got, one of them had a purple refractor, and it was a big deal back then. It wasn't even autographed, you guys. Like, it was, but it was such a big deal that I told a dealer friend of mine, who's quite a bit older than me, that would set up a deal at tables on at card shows all the time, he told another buddy dealer of his, and he goes, "Oh, you're that guy that pulled the purple refractor Strasburg." And it's like, ooh, my reputation precedes me because of this card that I pulled, you know, so which is kind of a fun thing. Anyways, I mean, again, that was like, that was like one of the bigger cards I pulled, you know, so in my whole life as far as packs go and everything. So, but I don't really open that many packs, to be fair, but it doesn't just start there, it stopped there. Like, there's also, like I said, Yasiel Puig, he was a big deal. And, oh, guys, I don't remember what year he was a big deal. In maybe 2014? You know, I remember going all around looking for Bowman Chrome for that year, too. And, you know, just it was really fun to be able to do that sort of thing. And it didn't stop there. Like, it was, that was something like back when I was a kid, like, probably the thing that really started me on it was when my dad caught wind of the 1990, I think it was 90, maybe 89, but I think 90, Mother's Cookies, Nolan Ryan cards, where it was a four card set, so you had all four cards were Nolan, but the supposedly the number two of four out of the set was big news. It was a rare card, and we found out what box in the palette the number two card was. So we got a bunch of those, and you know, that was just a fun thing. And you know, hey, look, here's a spoiler alert. To my knowledge, they're all probably worth 50 cents, you know, like nowadays, I don't think they're really worth anything. But in any event, it was still fun. And you always hear about these things, like the stories of guys with like metal detectors going through Costco or wherever it was, where they're selling cases of 91 Donners, trying to like, you know, have the metal detectors go off whenever, you know, to find the Donners Elite cards. I don't remember if that was like confirmed or not that it actually worked, but I do know there was some sort of a trick for Elites at some point in some year, because I remember hearing that there were some people that ended up just getting a boatload of Elite cards. Sorry about that. It's, you know, loud knucklehead over here driving by. But anyways, where they ended up getting a small amount of packs, but a large amount of Donner's Elites, because they broke the algorithm, so to speak, you know. And which I think nowadays is really kind of crazy, because that means the Elites to pull from a box, like naturally, is way harder now than it was even back then. So anyways, and even with like Transformers, it was kind of fun, because one of the figures, which I ended up getting on eBay instead, not, you know, being patient or whatever, but there's a Transformer called Cosmos from the Legacy line that was shorted in each case. So everybody wants the Cosmos, and it's, you know, where other figures, you know, would say like, you know, that should be like a $25 figure, it's a $75 or $80 figure, you know, and, but some of them are showing up at Ross now, which is crazy. But you know, it makes it all that much more fun. It's not really, to my knowledge, a, you know, really ridiculously fun, interesting, figure or, toy or whatever. It's just, you know, he was shorted in these cases. So, but anyways, it is interesting though, you guys, like one thing I've noticed, switching between hobbies, you know, like I have, you know, tremendous love for baseball cards, I have tremendous love for Transformers. And the fun thing is like they scratch entirely different itches. Like it's not just, oh, okay, collecting. Yeah, because when it comes to collecting, like you have, let's say you have, I don't know, say $50 to spend on a box of cards or a Transformer, like for me. I know that there's fun in opening a box with the hope and excitement of getting something. And if you get something big, then, you know, that's a big deal. That's awesome. But if you get nothing, you just get a pile of $10 cards that you don't even want. You know, when it comes to like the Transformers, like if I get a piece I want, I know I can have a lot of fun flipping it back and forth and posing it and, you know, pretend like I'm Kidian, right? So I guess probably a better comparison would be to get a single that you really like for that $50 as opposed to, you know, a Transformer or something. So, but even then, you know, you basically have a limited amount of things that you can do with the card. Like, you can look at it, you can enjoy it, but that's it. And on paper, that sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? Like, I'm just going to look at a card, but yet for some reason, if it's the right card, it brings a tremendous amount of joy to me. I can't think of a specific $50 card that would do that necessarily, but you know, just you think of any given $50 card that you have, that's like a PC for life card, you're going to, you know, just adore that card, even though it doesn't really do anything except for sit in your box or in a binder or on a shelf or something, right? So kind of funny how that works. But yeah, two different itches are scratched entirely for me. So, and you know, I really think that the more that I start creating my own cards for my collection and for others, and the different technologies I can try to use, or techniques, or, you know, whatever, what have you, I think that, I don't know, like, I'm not sure, I'm going to put this out there, I don't know if it's true, but I think it's possible that the new cards that are put out nowadays that are really well done from a design perspective, if I can do it, or something comparable, maybe it's not something I'm as excited about as maybe I would have been, say, a couple years ago, or even a year ago, I don't know. And I'm not even sure if that's true or not, but I will say this. I do find myself loving fewer and fewer cards that they come out with each year, even though there are a few that I just think are amazing. In fact, like there's Topps had put out a couple really good rainbows of Kinseiko the past couple years. I didn't get any of them, you know, because it's like, it's just the base card with the different color border, and you know, they all refract light differently and that sort of thing, which I'm not saying that they're boring, because they're not. They're really pretty cards, but it's like, I don't know. It's really kind of a weird deal. But when it comes to cards from the 90s and 2000s, that have like a story behind them, that have some sort of lore, those are the ones that really kind of excite me. And which, interestingly enough, which is funny, I never thought I'd be able to say this, but I have the majority of the ones that I want. There's still a handful out there that I really would like, for sure. You know, so I'm definitely not done by any stretch of the imagination, probably never will be. But I really do appreciate and have a crazy amount of love for the cards of yesteryear, the hard to find ones. And I might have shared this before, I don't know, but one of the cards, like one of the rarest, one of the two rarest 90s cards, it's not one of one, of Kinseiko, is his 1999 Fleer Tradition Starting Nine. And there's only nine that have been produced, and I didn't think I'd ever see one, really. I ended up actually seeing one, like, I think 3-4 years ago, and it was snatched up pretty quickly for $900, and nowadays, like, probably go for wildly more. But one was for sale for significantly cheaper, and I grabbed it real quickly, and I was thinking, man, should I have done that? And that, and then after it set in, I go, wow, that was an awesome buy. And it turned out that the serial number was 9 of 9. And I was thinking, you know, this is interesting. Like my wife and I, we met $9,999, September 9th, 1999. Well, that card is a 1999 Fleer Tradition starring 9, serial number 9 of 9. Like, we literally were just meeting when that card was produced. And keep in mind, at this point in my life, I had no idea what a starting 9 was. I had no idea where a Fleer Tradition card was. I was just out of collecting at that point. I think probably the last, last year I was like really into cards before I came back to the hobby in like 06 or whatever it was, 05, 06, 07. It was probably 1993. I think I have a couple memories of cards, of getting cards from like a couple packs of like maybe 94 Flair or something, but nothing serious, probably just something that I was like, you know what, I love baseball cards, there are baseball cards here, I should get some. So I never really put a hard stop on collecting. I just kind of floated away, and the cards I had just were set in the closet, and I never really pulled them out or anything like that to enjoy for, you know, the next several years. But yeah, like 1993 Finest Refractors, I didn't really know anything about. 96 Mirror Gold, I certainly had no clue about. Like, all of the goodies, like, the time period that that I stopped, basically, was where all the incredible stuff was really produced, which is funny. And that's not to say anything against the cards that are put out now, because in spite of the fact that I don't really like most of the things that are put out now, I mean, oh my goodness, they put out so many one of ones these days. Like, it's insane. And do me a favor, go on eBay and search for 2023 Leaf one of one and see what comes up. And 2022 Leaf one of one. If you don't know what that's going to bring up, then your mind is about to be blown. But anyways, so there are some that are new that I would absolutely love. I really am a fan of like a handful of these like patch cards or, you know, barrels or knobs or whatever. So I think they're really cool. That said, there's just so many out there that I just don't really care about too much. Because there's not really a story to it. It's like, okay, we found a, a cool design that we had, that we had designed, and we used it, and there it is. It's like, okay, well, cool, I guess, but, but I could do that. So anyways, and it's kind of fun because, like, I think that's one of the things I like about the custom cards, and I think other people appreciate as well, is they can be created to their specifications, you know, like their favorite player or, you know, their kid or whatever. Like, I've done a few booklets in the past week or two where players on one side and their number one fan is on the other. And, you know, this card is used or booklet's used as a, you know, birthday present or will be used as a Christmas present or whatever. Man, I love that. I think that's incredible. And, I take pride in the fact that there's a number of my pieces that are, centerpieces for other people's collections, which is really, really fun. But it's been kind of an interesting time in collecting for me. I haven't really picked up too terribly many cards. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. I picked up a couple of boxes of 87 Fleer. One to keep and one to open with my family. Come the 5th anniversary of my dad passing away. I told everybody about that story back then as well. It's just, there's so much nostalgia. And the fun thing is like, my hope is to pull a Bonds, a Bonilla, Bo Jackson, Clark, and a Mitchell, and a Canseco, of course, and put them in my binder, because I've worked on kind of like a haphazardly kind of, keys of the 80s binder. And I've talked about that in a previous podcast as well, where I think I actually had an episode where I call it something like, let's build the ultimate 80s binder or something. And you know, it's not really that crazy hard to do. I'll try to run through quickly the number, like what I would use, what I would put in them. And there's and like there's so many that I'm missing. Like I don't have nearly any of these, but I do have a decent chunk, but I've got a long ways to go. I'm just not intentionally seeking them out. It's just like when they come, you know. But for like an ultimate 80s binder, I would love to have like, I think you'd want to include an 80 tops Ricky Henderson rookie, 81 tops Tim Raines, maybe Harold Baines, because of, ever since he was elected to the Hall of Fame, like it's a big deal. Never was really before that. Fernando Valenzuela for 82, you'd have to hit, of course, again, all of the, you know, tops learned honors for Ripken, all the flavors of Ripken. I don't know if I'd put anything else in there. 83, all brands for Boggs, Gwynn, and Sandberg. And for the traded set, like tops trade, I think you'd want to grab the Gerald Strawberry. I don't remember if there's anything else in there. 84, might be missing something else in the 83 tops trade set. But anyways, 84, you definitely want the Mattinglys and the Strawberries. And for Fleer update, you'd want to put in the Clemens, Puckett, and Gooden. And of course, I think Gooden was probably 84 tops trade as well. 85, you'd want the McGuire tops. And then for everybody else, you'd want the Puckett's and the Clemens. 86, you've got a smattering of different players, mainly in the traded sets, but of course, you know, some in the flagship sets too. But of course, you want to go with my man Kaseko. Then you've got Bonds and Bo Jackson, and probably put Clark in there. Let's see, I'm just going off the top of my head here. Probably a few others, but 87. Kind of same deal. There's a lot of the same players as there were 86, but this time in the flagship offerings, along with McGuire and Maddox, because Maddox is in there a few times. 88. Biggio, Alomar, Grace, Smoltz. Probably put Smoltz in there. Glavin, I think. I got to call out 88 score rookie and traded. I've got some great memories of that. Then of course, and this is by no means a complete thing, but just a quick run through, quick 5 minute run through. But, 89, of course, you have, you know, Griffey, and then you have Sheffield, Randy Johnson, probably some others. I don't, can't think of who else offhand. Greg Jeffrey's got to go back to 88. Of course, so you might grab his 89 tops as well. And I think those are the main guys for the most part. There's others too, like Biggio has some rookies in 89 as well that you'd want to get probably. But, you know, I probably, being my binder, I think I might even extend the years up to maybe 92 or 93, probably 92, because I think that's really when I was really heavily collecting for the most part. So anyway, so those are my those are my thoughts. I know that's a rabbit trail, but yeah, go figure, me going on a rabbit trail, right? That's definitely not like me, right? But but yeah, I think that that's kind of the fun thing about collecting baseball cards, is that you have so many different ways you can go. You know, I have love for some of the newer cards. I have intense love for the older cards. And I have so much, like, nostalgic love for a lot of junk wax era cards. And my goodness, by the way, you guys, like, I'm actually doing a 5-card set, a patch set of someone's kid who's a football player. And in exchange, he sent me 3 graded, PSA graded Mickey Mantles. And that was kind of a fun thing. You know, that sounds familiar. I feel like I told you about this in the last episode as well. But anyways, love the 50s and 60s cards as well. But when you really want to get my heart pumping is talking about 19th century cards, turn of the century cards, even all the way up to like, you know, Cracker Jack or Gaudi, even all the way up to the 30s. I mean, ooh, man, like I get goosebumps when I start thinking about that stuff. And, you know, same goes for like certain Kinseco cards, which very few people on this planet will understand that. You know, it's easy to get all excited about like a T206 Ty Cobb, or an old Judge or Gypsy Queen King Kelly, but Kinseco, a lot of people say, what are you talking about? So anyways, all right, so I guess that does it for now. I will I'll hang this up, and thank you guys for listening as always. Yeah, like I said, if you have any questions or have anything you want me to talk about on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me on my email, tanmanbaseballfan@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.